This is a production of Cornell University.
CPSA meeting, April 4th, 2011.
The expansion proposal that is being submitted by Cornell to develop an applied sciences campus in New York City. So if you're interested in serving a very small committee, it'll be about 4 to 5 people. They're interested to know how this will impact engineering students and possibly the GPSA structure. And any discussion that goes on in this matter will have to be confidential until the proposal is submitted and evaluated. So we will not be able to discuss it until December. So if you're interested in serving on this committee, please let me know. After the meeting, just approach me. Are there any questions or comments on that? Yes, Ben.
Is there any information about the time commitment for that?
The provost has indicated that it'll be very minimal time commitment, maybe 3 or 4 meetings in the time span. She just wants to be able to address students and receive their input. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, Tom, do you have any updates?
Yes. You're all under a new regime. I hope you like it.
Fair enough. All right. Jen, any updates?
Okay, so the next communications committee meeting is going to be this Wednesday, 10 a.m. in Duffield. And had the second Cornell Caring Community Celebration committee meeting last week, and it will be Tuesday, April 26th in the afternoon. The exact time is not solidified yet, but I've been talking to Brian and other individuals on mental health issues in the graduate community, organizations that address mental health issues in the graduate community and who should be involved in this. It's looking like it's going to be a lot of fun, so keep you updated as something wrong.
Are there any questions at all for Jen at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on into the committee and liaison updates. We'll start off with the events committee. We first have to congratulate the events committee and the chair, Nicole. They just completed the grad ball on Friday, and for all those who attended, it was actually a pretty good time. And Nicole, I think, doesn't have to be stressed out so much anymore. Just coat it up. So are there any other updates from the events committee?
So we are going to try to squeeze out a couple more events before the end of the year, smaller in scale than this one, so keep posted. The other thing is we'll be talking about the future graduate professional student programming board later in the meeting. I still have petitions for people to sign, so we'll talk about this later. So for those of you who try to escape, we are collecting signatures so that we can apply for byline funding to the student activities. And in order to do that, we need the signatures of 630 students, graduate students, to be eligible. That's 10% of graduate students at Cornell to sign this form. So if you haven't signed this form already, come talk to me. I have a whole bunch of them up here. And then we'll be talking about the programming board a little bit later. I circulated the resolution related to that. And I'm looking for any help that you guys might want to provide if you want to be involved on the programming board next year.
Yes, Evan.
What's the deadline for signature?
The signature is the 25th of April. So there is still time, but the sooner we collect them, the less it weighs on who can get those. And anyone who wants to, for example, at the big red bar and walk around and ask for signature, like, really need help with that.
Do you have any sense on progress?
We're probably about halfway. It's hard to say exactly. I'll get more official tallies in the Assembly's office and files.
Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move on. Kyle, do you have any updates from the Appropriations Committee? All right. And Marquis, do you have any updates from the Student Advocacy Committee?
Just one. Our next meeting will be on April 13th.
All right. Evan, any updates from the ad hoc survey committee?
You'll all be pleased to know that the survey went out on March 24th to a random sampling of 1,000 graduate students. The statistically, some of you in this room may well have received it. I urge you, if you did receive it, to respond. Reminders go out on a weekly basis. There was a reminder on the 31st, reminder on the 7th, and final reminder on the 14th. And that's when the survey will close, I think, the week after that. I might be off by we have right now, as of right this second, I just said, a 37.3% response rate, which is nothing to sneeze at. We're shooting for 60%. If we can manage it, that would be wonderful. So tell your friends, tell your loved ones, tell your pets, if they got the survey, please fill it out.
And just a comment from the chair, I don't know if it's too random because I got the survey. So
I got the survey too.
It's like, okay.
I didn't even have to read the question.
How many people have gotten the survey in this room?
Survey the survey.
Yeah.
It's an email from me. So I didn't.
Any questions or comments for Evan? Seeing none, we'll move on. Bobby, an update from the Finance Commission?
Right, so two important dates are coming up this month. This Saturday at MDR Hall at noon, that we will be, the Finance Commission will be holding a seminar to walk through the funding process for annual budgets for next year. The annual budgets are due at the end of the month, and following that, I'd like to put out a plea for help from individuals in this room or people within your department to help go through the annual budget on April 30th, which is the end of the month. We receive about 250 applications from different student organizations, and a number of volunteers. Some people have volunteered last year, but the more individuals can get the help, the faster the process goes, and it also helps also have people from across the campus involved, so if you have questions, we can ask different people in the room. So if you yourself can't help, but think there might be students within your groups that would be willing to help out on the 30th, that would be greatly appreciated. And groups from the actual group of funding have questions, we encourage them to attend the seminar on Saturday.
Any questions or comments for Bobby? Yes, Julia.
Oh, I'm sorry. 153.
Ben?
Is there a time or a room for the April 30th meeting yet?
There is. In Sage Hall. B09 starting at 9 a.m.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move on. Update from the Ad Hoc Environmental Sustainability Committee. Billy? Any questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move on. Brian, you have an update from the Mental Health Committee?
Yes. So, for those of you that were here last year, the GPSA passed a resolution 14, which calls for the creation of a proactive mental health site off the graduate school website. And that was delayed till this year because it just so happens this year the graduate school is redoing their website, so it made sense to wait. So we had two meetings where we discussed such a site, and within the graduate school site there's going to be a section on academics, and then there'll be a section called Life at Cornell, and the committee met with Lister Fellis, the director of communications for the graduate school, and we discussed the formation of a site, which is on PowerPoint, called Success in Graduate School, where it's going to discuss having a positive and healthy experience. And topics that are going to be on that site include finding balance, managing stress, take breaks, managing time, staying connected, relationships, and something that Elizabeth was pushing for and the committee agreed with, just a section on the transition from undergraduate to graduate. So as soon as that content is done, that will be made available. It should be sometime middle of April. And our next meeting is going to be with Cornell Minds Matter. They approached us during the student trustee dinner several weeks ago, expressing a concern that graduate students do not attend their events. So we're going to be meeting with them and hopefully working with them to have graduate students attend their events.
Are there any questions or comments for Brian? Seeing none, we'll move on. Is there an update from the Emergency Funding Ad Hoc Committee? Ben? There is not. And then from our liaison, Chris, is there an update from the faculty senate? Are there any other updates from the other liaisons at this time? Are there any updates from the university assembly? Evan?
No.
All right, then. With that, we actually are going to move on to the business of the day. And the first thing up is a discussion on Resolution 7. This is a resolution to revise the funding guidelines of the Graduate Professional Student Assembly Finance Commission. This is a resolution and document that has to be revised every year by the Appropriations Committee. Every 2 years. Yes. The non-funding academic year. And so, Kyle, you have the floor and take it away.
Okay. Do you have my PowerPoint?
Yep.
Cool. I'm done. Okay. So, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to members of the Appropriations Committee, Bobby, Evan, Steve, you all have been great help, and Chris Clark, you've all been quite helpful, even if you're not something we ever officially have on the committee, but that's all right. All right. So you're on to the first slide. So there's many radical changes to the document. Some more elaborate ideas out there. Like, for example, there was some talk about maybe we could buy ID card scanners to try to arrange to have those at some of the bigger events. And ultimately, we opted for a more evolutionary change. The biggest change we have is in the programming category. And as we'll get to in a moment, there's going to be a lot more flexibility for how groups present their proposals. We think it will both make it easier on groups we fund and will hopefully improve the workflow. We have a few perennial points of confusion in the document that we are using the language to clarify. And I'd like to think that we can need a much more readable document as well. So, what we've done is we've eliminated the funding limit for the net production, speaker, publicity, section, or if you could say subcategory, which is the programming category for annual budget. These are the budget groups who have funding days throughout the year to get their annual allocation from FC. There's always been a $1,500 limit on the entire category, our category limit stays. What we're getting rid of is the individual limit on how much groups can apply for within that 1500 for event production, speaker costs. Speaker would be like travel costs, for example. Publicity, which would be like a premium flyer, and advertising, and the reception, which is mostly food costs. So, you know, she announced that the committee did understand that some groups had already been kind of treating the program and how to make it more valuable to bring down the opportunity. So they kind of format the opportunity to meet our requirements, but not in the same way with the letter of the guidelines. So I think this will make the guidelines more concise what actually goes on. So it should be easy to review annual budget, it should not have to report these specific categories, and also we'll be using special project requests, because groups will that want something put on that within the part of 1500 will be able to apply to them, but we also feel that we'll be using kind of we want to make clear, especially to see that there's quite a bit of flexibility now to use the social category. So then it can be kind of, maybe you can think it can be basically applied towards any other type of that project in terms of leads. We want to make that social program. Section 6B, from numeral 1, we move the term of advisory body. Charter, section 6, E from numeral 2, we made clear that the definition of number of graduate students in a program based on the graduate school performance template, when actually program and the number of graduate students in each program, this has been some confusion in some groups of this kind of playing field when they do something else, you know, and that's problematic. Section 9D. What we did is we made clear that we have a large special project request to a high standard. We did stop short of including this document as a formal request that groups that are applying for the 1400 actually come to us and they can personally feel that it's something that we have been thinking about and think we would certainly. Like to see, to make sure that groups are making especially large requests to make an effort to make a difference for them to be evaluated, very large requests. So the next slide, we have this document from 4,700 to about 3,800 words. Largely by emergency funding limits, definitely is a funding category. Basically now it can be documented and we in the same section you can use. So you basically need to see, now the whole room is echoing, but okay, so now you can see in the same section that after reading it much more clear. The document, because I made it shorter, more streamlined, more precise document, we'll see more groups actually being involved in the group. Because having been on FC, I noticed that some groups need to do, well, they submit it quite sometimes, but show a lack of familiarity with their particular requirements. So we hope that that will.
Single largest change is this program category. So what you could do before is perfectly legitimate, perfectly fine.
Let's say that I want to put on an event that has a speaker. That event is going to cost me $800 for that particular speaker. Well, the guideline said that I had a $500 limit for the speaker. So what I could do, perfectly legitimate, apply for $500 for the speaker, and then apply for $300 for rental lighting equipment under event production. Once the FC approves my allocation, I can spend freely within the program category. So I have $800. I can spend that whole $800 on a speaker, but I had to be, shall we say, deceitful on my application. What we've done is we've allowed the guidelines to reflect the practice that we were allowing and encouraging anyway, namely the free spending within the program category, right on the application. You need $800 for the speaker, apply for $800. You don't need to hide that somewhere else and just transfer it later. I think it's a top-notch, excellent improvement.
Tom has the next question.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about the limits that have been maintained, it seems to me, within the document. That is to say, most of the numbers, right, the ultimate caps, have been kept the same. And I wondered what was the rationale for that, given since the document was written, the student activity fee on which the FC funds these organizations has increased by about 8%.
That's a good question. I think that we didn't see it as a major problem. We didn't see that it was not something that organizations were complaining to us about. They were not telling us that we specifically need an increase in those caps. If you did want to propose an amendment,
Just thinking about Kyle said, so we need these caps for the budget, but special product requests officially technically have no cap, at all, it's $400, it's scrutinized even more. So oftentimes the group will put in a budget request, and then the special projects that come up for events they anticipate having at the time the budget was filled out, they just submit a special project request, they could ask for a bit more money. So in a sense, it's not really getting around that cap, it kind of is, but if I'm a group and I have a $500 budget, but I hear about this event, I want a co-sponsor and I want $1,000, you can ask for a special product request. And while there's no cap, you can scrutinize that a little bit more. So it's a way, we've had no problems with groups asking us to lift the cap, and I'm not sure if Bobby knows how much money we have left to spend this year. We haven't allocated all our funds yet.
I don't know the exact figure.
But we have an allocation.
That's what I was going to pick up on, that even with the current limits, there is very much the possibility of over-allocation. Now, we've never overspent in funding the student groups, but as Bobby points out all the time, even if we just allocated social funding to everybody, we'd already exceed the amount of money that we put out. So I don't think it makes sense to increase any of the limits, but this is part of why the programming change is made, the idea being that people might make budget requests that are closer to what they envision actually spending, rather than putting in a request where they just ask for the maximum in all the categories and figure out, well, I may not have a reception, but I want to ask for that money, and I'll figure out how to spend it later. So I think this helps with that.
And Chris has the last question.
I was asked maybe a justification for raising the activity fee year over year. How many more groups ask for funding? Do you guys know the numbers?
The number has been fairly constant over the last 4 years, around 250 groups.
Currently, 250.
One thing I'll add to that, correct me the numbers, upwards, what percentage of our funding should we allocate is not spent? Do you have 30% or something like upwards of a third? The money we allocate is not always the same as money we actually students get reimbursed for, students get reimbursed for. The numbers of those we wind up in.
It's around 30%.
Yeah, so one every $3 we allocate is not actually spent by the student groups who ask for the money.
This is related to that issue that I just said, that we can make sure that the funding requests are as close as possible, of course, to the budget and estimated gain here, as close as possible to what is actually spent. And we make sure that we're not allocating excess money, because I'm sure that what has happened in the past is allocations getting diminished and turned down because we thought we didn't have the money, but we actually did. We were just over-allocated it when we saw the spend all worked out.
And with that, we have to move on. So this resolution...
All right,
one more, Billy.
Just quickly, can you give me how this goes with the new online
system that
we're
getting
with the budget?
Yeah,
there's a question about that. My question is,
will there be any changes to how people can do their budget online? Well, we have been in touch with Ari, the Assembly's office, who's responsible for making the experiment for submission and evaluation. Ultimately, distribution funds. He is aware of the Assembly because people will make changes. We've got a longer term question We've had an ongoing discussion with Ari and the Assembly's office about ways to improve the grant program on the TTSA and the information system. It sounds like there's not a lot of institutional support for overcome right now, but it is something.
And the short answer, do you want that big of a change, or we're working with him to. So if you request funding on the program category, we're working with different modest teams, so it would actually tell you on the screen what the amounts are, and that there's a reminder that it's not a cap of subcategories, but an overall category. So as Kyle said, I think that's going to be a bit reluctant to come into that they can make any changes. The system is just brand new, frustrating at times, but better than the old system with super companies, which is prevalent and displays a lot. But the only thing you might see this time around on the program category of the precedent line is that they will change and meet the more detailed language and says this is no, we don't have the subcategory matching, we have the overall program category.
And with that, we actually have to cut the discussion on this. So today we are not actually going to be voting on this matter due to the fact that changes to this document regarded in the same way as changes to the charter, so it has to be presented at one meeting and then voted at the next meeting. Therefore, this will be voted on the final meeting of the GPSA calendar year.
Questions to you after meeting in time?
Yes. And moving on, we'll move on to Resolution 8, and that will be presented by Brian, and it's a resolution adoption of a Graduate Professional Student Assembly Orientation Guide.
This is a document that I've been discussing throughout the semester, and it's always on the beginning of launch meeting where people actually got to see the documents and how it's made. So before I show it, I want to acknowledge the people that helped me write it, my co-authors and Preston, Evan, who nitpicks every single page for me. Thank you. And Steve, Nicole, and Kyle were the sponsors on the resolution and also looking at the final documents. So, for voting members, there is a handbook which the voting members received back in August from the Office of Assembly. This document does briefly talk about the Cornell campus governance system. It mainly discusses what supports the GPSA received from the Office of Assembly, and there's all the websites, email addresses, and rooms to carry out the business of the GPSA. However, this document is not targeted for field representatives, it's not targeted for the Cornell community in general, and it is available online, but it's a link that you kind of have to know. It's not on the GPSA website, so that's all the information.
No, what we did was, based on the fact that a lot of sales representatives always at the beginning of the year have a question about how the ETSA works, questions about which deals go into which areas, how is the funding working, why are they choosing treasury, a guidebook, not to be confused with the GTSA handbook written by the Office of Assembly, was prepared for. Next slide. So, the purpose of the guidebook is one to allow new members of the GTSA to learn more about how the GTSA functions, whether you're a first time field representative or people who are elected tonight as a voting representative, or for those that are going to be elected in the next GTSA meeting, the officers, the committee chairs, and that sort of thing. Okay? And it's also there to be a simplified version of the charter and the bylaws, which the GTSA has recently approved. And it was also the catch-all for certain phrases that did not end up being in the charter to go into such a handbook. So these are topics that are discussed in the PDF. Right now it is a PDF, and when I'm done, hopefully I'll be allowed to ask the questions whether or not we want such a thing as a website as well. So it talks about governance, the introduction to the GTSA, the duties of representatives and officers of the GTSA, what the business of the GTSA covers, most predominantly from the Graduate Community Initiative, the GCI, as well as the strategic plan, the committee system, which Tom has discussed over and over again this year, and I discussed last year when I was VPO. The activity group, which will be very important for next year's GTSA, since they will be voting on the new activity group. The funding of graduate student groups, which Kyle just discussed. Bringing business before the GTSA, how to write a resolution, how to make a motion, the brief review of Robert's Rules of Order. Websites and other important points. Okay, so what this resolution calls for is for the GTSA to adopt such a guidebook. What else do I say? I also asked for an amendment to the GTSA bylaws. Sorry, Tom. The reason why we could not have this statement in the bylaws is because the guidebook was not finished yet at that time, so only when the guidebook would be finished we add something to the bylaws, stating that in future years it would be under the auspices of the Operations and Staffing Committee to review and update this guidebook. And the other part of the resolution asks for the Office of Assembly to make the guidebooks available under the document, so underneath that governing document on the assembly, the GTSA website for the Office of Assembly, that there would be the orientation guidebook, the one that we're discussing this evening, as well as the handbook that is already up there, which again is targeted for the voting members. And with that, I will stop and I'll take any questions.
Actually, prior to questions, because we are voting on this matter today, there is the opportunity on the floor for any member to speak out in opposition to Resolution 8, Adoption of Graduate Professional Student Assembly Orientation Guide. You'll be given 1 or 2 minutes. And Tom would like to speak out again.
The change to the bylaws, while efficacious to the goal of the guide, seems to me to put an undue burden upon the Operations and Staffing Committee in maintaining this guidebook. As it was created from the Office of the Council of the Assembly, I would ask that the resolution reconsider that this bylaw amendment be struck and instead added to responsibilities to the Council of the Assembly.
And with that, we are now in a formal debate. People are given 30 seconds for a question and 1 minute for response. The first
point,
hand I saw.
Point of order?
Yes.
Was that a call for an amendment of the resolution? And if so, we need to vote on the amendment before moving on to the resolution as a whole.
There was not a formal call for an amendment, so it was just speaking out against and a consideration on the part.
Thank you.
Evan.
I have a question for Tom, I guess. If it's going to be under the council's office, the problem is that we don't always have a council. That's not a mandatory position. I think it could be fine if it was under the council's office if we had one, but otherwise it would fall to the operations and staffing committee.
That's a possibility.
Right.
Brian, would you also like to respond?
Former head of the operations and staffing committee.
Also, the charge is making that the council does not have to do anything that they don't want to do.
It literally does that.
Yes. No. Are there any other questions or comments in formal debate? The chair would also entertain a motion to move into informal debate. It's moved by Evan. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Chris. We are now in informal debate. You can ask any questions, have any comments, propose any amendments. Yes, Ben.
I guess in your summary of the resolution, you mentioned a wiki. Is that something that you decided to move forward with or no?
I sent an email saying that the wiki statement should be removed, so, and that one's not. So, background of this, when the document was written, it was also suggested that I also make it as either Google Doc or as a wiki. And I only had time to finish the PDF version of it, but what I have it as, I have it hyperlinked. So the question that I was alluding to earlier, and maybe someone else during the forum speaking, stated whether or not you actually want it to be in a website form or is it acceptable to keep it as the PDF. Within the document, it's linked, so when I refer to another chapter, you can skip to it right away. And the person can go back up. Yes, there. On the first page, when you see it online, all those are active links. So you can just skip to the section that you want. So right now, the shorter answer is no, but if it's the will of the EGSA that it should be made into some website form, we can do that.
Evan.
My question is on exactly that point, and this is pursuant further to Tom's point. It's already a fair amount of work, of course, as you know, to write the document. You said it right there. Didn't have time to do a wiki. My concern would be that in future years, while I recognize the convenience of a wiki or a Google document or, heaven forbid, raw HTML in getting the information out there, I think we want to make sure that we have a document that is as easily updatable as possible. And maybe a Word document just turned into a PDF is the best way to accomplish that.
Which is the way this is right now.
Yeah. So I would suggest that we keep the way it is. Because if we have a wiki, first, it means converting this document to that format. Worst-case scenario means maintaining two separate versions, or it means finding a wiki software to generate nice-looking printouts.
Now I did do one page print as a wiki, and you know, the content is the same, but that did take a while, especially me not knowing.
We don't view this as a communally edited document either, which is, again, what a wiki would help us.
Chris has the next question.
The limited work has been brought over this question of whether we need certain documents to use to create a Google Doc. I think that if we want to actually focus on this question, we're going to have to move it away from the guidebook. Otherwise, the guidebook is going to be admired as a question. And I mean, if I may give my personal opinion on the matter, if this is going to be a community document, something that all of us have contributed to, the wiki would be the best form. That's what that medium has been made to accomplish. But at the same time, it will take a lot of effort to get a PDF or work. I'm guessing this is maybe Word or some other sort to do together into that sort of format. So, and we want this ready by the end of the year so that we can give it out to new people that need to figure out the responsibility. So I urge us to weigh in this question right now.
Good.
I think you raise a good point, Tom, that with the work we've done to rebalance the responsibilities of the operations and staffing committee, adding new responsibilities is a hard thing to do right now. I think this is a very good document, and I think, Brian, you've done good work putting it together, and I think it's important to get the information we have out and also to figure out a way to maintain it. So I was wondering, just in this informal debate, if anyone has any ideas about who would be best to have ownership of this document and how, as a body, we would keep it up to date in the future.
charged to another committee or to an individual. The communications committee, probably not. No other committee really fits. The executive board, the vice president of operations and staffing, but of course the buck would stop with them if we're charged with a committee. I think that having it be understanding the board, I think having charged with a committee makes the most sense out of all of the different options, because you have the executive board, you have the chairs of the various committees of the GTSA. If anybody knows anything, it's going to be those people. They're going to have the most familiarity. Brian's done such a wonderful job putting together such an excellent document. Unless there is a significant overhaul to this body, I think we're looking at tweaks from year to year.
I've forgotten how it's worded in the charter now. Is the Operations and Staffing Committee responsible for all the documents of the GPSA, or the governing documents, or would it fall under their current responsibilities
charter
now? I don't remember how it's just charter and bylaws.
Yeah, charter and bylaws. Appropriations has the Finance Commission guidelines and the activity of the stuff that will be relevant next semester. So.
I mean, I'm understanding your point. I think Operations and Staffing makes the most sense.
Nicole.
Well, just out of curiosity, why we should say communication is a good one for it. I mean, since the goal is to communicate about the GPSA to the members,
I think of communication as being external communication body, to communicate to people who are not members of the GPSA, to graduate professional students as a whole, whereas Operations and Staffing is the sort of internal stewardship body, maintaining the charter and bylaws, maintaining our governing documents. Not that this is a governing document, it doesn't hold that in force, but I think it's a similar sort of document, and you've got the people with that expertise there.
I don't know that I share that view of the communications committee, but I also think it's not a defined thing. I mean, communications could do internal communications as well as external. It could do more coordination between other committees or, I mean, whatever permutation we want.
Well, then raises exactly the same question. Are we giving the communications committee too much work? The operations and staffing committee, if they're not reviewing the charter, doesn't do anything except staff the committee at their very first meeting of the year. So in an activity fee year, well, heck, now that we've gotten rid of mandatory charter review, thank goodness, the Operations and Staffing Committee, granted that they're probably the busiest people in the GPSA, but the committee as a whole doesn't have any formal charge other than maintain the documents.
Chair, I would like to note that it is 6:27 p.m. We are running short on time, so if there's any motions on either table, amendments, or motions to vote on this, please make them now. Yes, Evan.
Motion to close debate.
There's a motion on the floor. Is there a second? Seconded by Stephen. So at this time, we will be voting on Resolution 8, which is the adoption of a Graduate and Professional Student Assembly Orientation Guide as written, as there was no amendments proposed. So at this time, if you are in favor of Resolution 8, please raise your placards now. If you are opposed, please raise your placards now. 1, and if you are abstaining, please raise your placards now. So with a vote of 13-1-2, Resolution 8 passes, and it will be incorporated into the bylaws as well as circulated as written. Thank you very much, Brian.
We have 6 seconds. After the voting members, I'd like to thank you for an email address so this document can be sent to you, so
Just a quick point. I'd like to thank Brian. He gave us all credit. He did a lot of the work. I'm not sure how many people got there when you read the document. With me, when it's on there, it's a modest link for anyone, field member or voting member, or just someone curious. It's very well organized. No section is longer than 1 or 2 pages. It's very concise and very insightful. So I encourage everyone to read it when it's up there. It's pretty magical.
And moving on in the agenda, we will move into the election of the GPSA 2011-2012 voting members. So the groups that you broke out earlier today, yes, Ben?
Could you remind us how many seats are available for each focus area or whatever, super field?
Division.
Thank you very much. Let me go with
area. Yeah, thank you.
How about we do it this way? If you're a physical sciences voting member, please raise your hand now. 1, 2, 3, 4, and Yevgeny. Where's Yevgeny?
But he was at large.
4433.
It is in the charter. We'll consult that momentarily. So please.
It's in the guidebook right now. All right. So there are.
If you please hand it to me. So there are 3 seats for the biological sciences, 3 seats for humanities, 4 seats for physical sciences, 4 seats for social sciences, 1 seat each for the professional schools, but those will not be elected today. And there is just one slight note on the 4 seats for physical sciences. One has to be an engineer. All right. Yes. Thank you very much. And that's the utility of a guidebook.
That's right.
And now break out to your area concentrations, and please form the caucuses. Yes.
Where's the caucus leader?
The caucus leader for the physical sciences is Chris Heckman. The caucus leader for the biological sciences is Neat. Yes. If you are a caucus leader, you cannot run. The caucus leader for the humanities is Tom. The caucus leader for social sciences is Brian.
Oh, it's going to be me too.
I did not know you were retiring. All right, it'll be Chris.
Doesn't matter.
All right, breakout now. Wisconsin. And the Office of Assemblies will be providing paper ballots for your consideration. So please drop them off with the caucus. Okay, thank you.
So, should we have everyone write the names? Or?
So what we should do is see how many people are running first.
Yeah.
And then probably do the engineering seat first.
Mm-hmm.
And then do the free range.
Okay.
Just everyone has how many votes. So in the first one, everyone gets one. In the second one, everyone gets three.
And I want to go the blog page and the
Are there any questions or comments at this time? Chris.
One comment, just one time, and correctly, address your $2.50 for each student. I think the way it would go is you can say $4 and you can pay. So if you can say it's $4, then including that, includes the advance committee. So if you put off the program board, you know, just less than $4, you put it off, you can say it's $1.50. Program board is $2.50. Why do I say that? It's not necessarily so up because of that. Wondering if I'd pay more, not necessarily, next year. And then double your budget?
It would double our budget.
More money, more events, bigger grad hall, more tenures.
Everything costs money.
Yeah,
so
more money, more events. So.
Are there any other questions or comments? Yes, Billy.
Do you have any general facts off the top of your head of what percentage of graduates participated in from the performance committee?
Well, I know in the survey, we'll get some direct information about this. I know there's actually a lot of variation depending on the event. Our grad night out are usually packed hours, so there's more than 200 people that will attend those. But that's a completely different crowd actually that comes to bowling or ice skating. So we really try to hit a lot of different constituencies at Cornell with our different events. Similarly, grad ball this year sold somewhere between 350 and 400 tickets, so that's a pretty large chunk also of the grad student community. So our emails were out to, you know, everyone here, hopefully for them for our deals, and they also go to over 2,000 members of the Facebook group, so I mean, we're trying to reach as many students here as possible.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, this will be discussed at the final GPSA meeting of the year and voted on at that time period. And
also, I sent around the petition, so it was somewhere, if you haven't had it, please do. And you need to have your chief ID number on it, it doesn't count. So, it doesn't count.
All right, and with that, we'll move on into open forum itself. If there's any member with an item for open forum, please raise your hand. Yes, Tom, then Brian.
I would like to raise the question of the GPSA town hall and to point out, my point of view as an outgoing member, that we have not yet held this town hall, and I wanted to see if there is interest or movement to do so at this time.
Marquise, would you like
to? Yeah. Sort of the town hall was supposed to be held. But there were some technical issues that occurred, and I'm still wanting to get that done before the end of the semester. I plan to talk with Brian as well as Nicole in depth about having something for the next few weeks.
Thank you. Brian?
Just a reminder from what I said earlier, if you're a newly elected voting member and even the returning and the new ones, please see me after the meeting so I can get your email and send you the guidebook that was approved this evening.
Yes, Evan, and then Billy.
If you're on the mailing list, you received an email earlier this week from Nighthawk, forwarded a message from Andrew Brockman. Drafted what he's calling the Student Bill of Rights. His plan, I don't know where this stands with the FAA, is to hold a sort of constitutional convention at the end of this month that will take place on Thursday, April 22nd, Friday, April 23rd, soliciting graduate student involvement. I'm certainly interested. I don't have a position on this document. I've certainly shared my thoughts with him. I think there are issues so far, but certainly, regardless of the outcome, it's helpful to have graduate students involved in the process. If this is something you're interested in, or if you have thoughts generally on the Student Bill of Rights as drafted by Mr. Brockman, please do come see.
Are there any questions or comments for Evan? Yes, Billy.
I just have something that's related to the earlier comments about having a town hall. Dan, did you have any more thoughts about addressing academic advising? Well, I know you sent out a letter at one point, and
thought it was great, and I just wondered if that's something maybe for next semester or if you're still.
I would be thrilled if the DCFA were interested in following up on that more. So far, I believe you and Preston are the only DCFA members that responded to my email, so it doesn't seem like there's widespread interest at the moment. I, of course, think it's important and would be wonderful if there were more.
That email, you sent it to the president?
I have not officially sent it to him. I CC'd him on the email I sent to the DCFA saying that I was soliciting more input.
Say it again.
Sure.
That's
your body or?
Everyone here?
Sure.
Voting on that? Well, I'm sorry. Field reps and voting
members. Members and voting members.
Yes, sorry. How did I forget?
Right,
that's one. I know. My language.
Are there any other questions or comments at this time? Points of inquiry? Yes, Evan?
The motion to adjourn be looked upon friendly.
Prior to the motion to adjourn, the chair would have a question in itself. Should we get out of the space and try to find a more adequate meeting structure now that everyone should be involved in the discussion and try to find? Okay.
Mike Walsh mentioned Lamont Hall having a good auditory.
So the executive committee will look into that and see if it's available for the next meeting. If not, we'll be meeting back in here. We'll be voting the next year's chairs. Liaisons and executive committee members, so those voting members who were just elected today, please attend next meeting because you'll be voting on your leadership structure. And everyone is attending because we also have to consider several resolutions that will be on the table, and also we'll have a reception afterwards, so free drinks and food and socialness. And with that, Evan, I believe you have a motion. Second by Chris, we are adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.